Shalom, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. Today we are doing our Torah portion for this week, and the portion is called Lech Lecha, and it means go forth. And it's the first verse in the portion says, Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth Lech Lecha from your country. And so this portion kind of introduces us to Abraham and tells us about him and his life and his pursuit of God. Now, Lech Lecha, go forth, it's actually used twice in two places, once in this portion and once somewhere else. And it's both times Abraham is asked to do something seemingly impossible without tremendous unwavering faith. That is an example of faith that we could only hope to achieve. The first time he says Lech Lecha, go forth, is in the portion that we're getting ready to read, which is where he's commanded to leave his home, leave his country, and go to a place that he would be shown later. I mean, that is great faith. The next time, it's when he's told to go forth and to take his only son, whom he loves, Isaac, and sacrifice him. I wonder if there's anyone else in human history on the planet who would have ever walked in such great faith and great obedience. Not only Abraham, who listened to the words of God and just followed them with faith, but then you had Sarai, who is a perfect example of a godly, faithful woman who walks in complete obedience to her husband Abraham, following him, following God. Abraham is just the epitome of faith, the perfect example of faith. And the father of our faith. And so I just kind of wanted to share that little tidbit before we get started. I'm going to be reading, as custom, from the Hallelujah Scriptures for our Torah portion this morning. It's chapters 12 through chapter 17, verse 27. So several chapters here that I have to get through in a short period of time, so there won't be much commentary from me. Just listen to the words, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. Again, if you remember, the custom is that this would be read in the synagogues every year at the exact same time. And so the goal is not for me to explain it to you or to go into a lot of commentary. The goal is just to read it and for you to hear it. However, I do have a series on the book of Genesis you can find on the website or on the YouTube channel. If you're interested in more in-depth commentary. All right. Without further delay, let's look at the portion today, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing this one incorrectly. Lech Lecha, which means to go forth. Chapter 12, verse 1, Hallelujah Scriptures. Let's begin. And Yehovah said to Abram, Go yourself out of your land, and from your relatives, and from your father's house to a land which I show you. And I shall make you a great nation, and Baruch is to say bless you, and make your name great, and you shall become a Barakah. And I shall Baruch those who Baruch you, and curse him who curses you, and in you all the clans of the earth shall be Baruch. So Abram left as Yehovah had commanded him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered. And he began, and the beings whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed from the land of Canaan. And they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moray, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. And Yehovah appeared to Abram and said, "To your seed I give this land." And he built there an altar to Yehovah who had appeared to him. And from there he moved to the mountain east of Beth-El, and he pitched his tent with Beth-El on the west and Ai on the east. And he built there an altar to Yehovah and called on the name of Yehovah. And Abraham departed, continuing toward Negeb. And a scarcity of food came to be in the land. And Abram went down to Mishraim, that is to say Egypt, to dwell there, for the scarcity of the food was severe in the land. And it came to be, when he was close to entering Mishraim, that he said to Sarai his wife, "See, I know that you are a lovely woman to look at. And it shall be, when the Mishraites see you, they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they shall kill me, but let you live. Please say you are my sister, so that it shall be well with me for your sake, and my life be spared because of you." And it came to be, when Abram came into Mishraim, that the Mishraites saw the woman, and that she was very lovely. And the Pharaoh's officials saw her, and they praised her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Now, real quick, I do have some videos. You'll have to search them out. You probably have to search for the name Abram or Abraham when you go to the YouTube channel. But not only do I cover this in the book of Genesis and commentary on it, but I cover a story out of the patriarchs, writings of the patriarchs that were found with the Dead Sea Scrolls, that talk about this situation where Sarai is taken, and it talks about the length of time and kind of what Abram is going through emotionally, and it's very, very, very interesting. And so, if you haven't heard that, I recommend you go seek it out. Let's continue. Verse 16. "And he treated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and cattle and male donkeys, and the male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. But Yehovah plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this you have done to me? Why did you not inform me that she was your wife? Why did you say, "She is my sister"? And so I was going to take her for my wife. Look, here is your wife. Take her and go.' And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him that they sent him away with his wife and all that he had." Chapter 13. "And Abram went up to Mizraim into the Negeb, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. And Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the Negeb as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there first, and there Abram called on the name of Yehovah. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and Lamb was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were great, so they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And at the time the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, 'Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not all the land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I go to the right. Or if you go right, then I go to the left.' And Lot lifted his eyes, and he saw the plain of Yarden, that it was well watered everywhere, before Yehovah destroyed Sodom and Amorah, like the garden of Yehovah, like the land of Mizraim, as you go toward Tzoar. So Lot chose for himself all the plain of Yarden, and Lot moved east. Thus they separated from each other." You know what I find interesting is, you know, we're living in a time like Sodom, like Amorah, you know, in our own country here in the United States. If you're from the United States, we're seeing that type of mindset and all of that developing within our own country and around us. But many of us, we were just born into this. Whereas Lot here, I can't help but notice that he makes the choice to go live among the Sodomites. Lot's a very interesting character because God spares him, as we'll read in future portions, and shows him favor, yet Lot's not even, and the thing is the scriptures even talk about him as if he's a righteous man. Yet he makes some of these poor decisions based on, you would think, the lust of the flesh. I mean, he takes the land because it looks, the scriptures tell us that it looks great to him, it looks like the garden. But surely Lot knew the type of people that he was going to live amongst, and surely while he was there, he knew what he was living amongst. Anyway, just a short thought. Let's continue. Verse 12. Abram dwelling in the land of Canaan and Lot dwelling in the cities of the plain pitched his tent as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were evil and sinned before Yahweh exceedingly so. And after Lot had separated from Yahweh said to Abram, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see I shall give to you and your seed forever." Just to reiterate the point I just made, because I made the point before I read verse 13, the scriptures go out of its way to just tell us in this moment, just for one verse, that the men of Sodom, the place where Lot chose to go, were a people that were exceedingly evil. So this is Abraham dwelling in the land of Canaan and Lot dwelling in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent as far as Sodom, but the men of Sodom were evil and sinned before Yahweh exceedingly so. And then it changes directions and starts to talk about the land that is promised to Abraham. Verse 15, "For all the land which you see I shall give to you and your seed forever. And I shall make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could count the dust of the earth, then your seed also could be counted. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees in Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to Yahweh. And it came to be in the days of Amphrael, sovereign of Shinar, Aryok, sovereign of Elasar, and Kedar Lamor, sovereign of Elam, and Tidel, sovereign of Goyim. And they fought against Bera, sovereign of Sodom, and Birsha, sovereign of Amorah, Shinab, sovereign of Adma, Shimeber, sovereign of Sebaim, and the sovereign of Bela, that is, Sorar. All these joined together in the valley of Siddim, that is, the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Kedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year, Kedorlaomer and the sovereigns that were with him came and smote the Raphaim and the Ashtaroth Karyanim, and the Kazun and the Ham and the Inyamites and the Shuai and the Korathaim, and the Horites and their mountain of Seir as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. So basically we have just a war developing between all these tribes. It even points out that some of them were the Raphaim, which we believe to be Nephilim type. And then what we're about to see, I think, is also very interesting. So they're warring with each other. And then Abraham, who is already very, very powerful, apparently, is going to be getting involved in this situation. Verse 7. And they turned back and they came to En Misphat, that is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Alamakites, and also the Amorites who dwelt in Hastan Tamar, and the sovereign of Sodom, and the sovereign of Amorah, and the sovereign of Admah, and the sovereign of Sesbayim, and the sovereign of Bela, that is Saor, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Siddim against Kedorlaomer, sovereign of Elam, and Tidal, sovereign of Goyim, and Ermephel, sovereign of Shinar, and Aryuk, sovereign of Elasar, four sovereigns against five. And the valley of Siddim had many tar pits, and the sovereigns of Sodom and Amor fled and fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Amorah, and all their food, and went away. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and left. And one who escaped came and informed Abram the Ivri, that is to say, the Hebrew. For he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, an Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Anir, and they had a covenant with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who bore his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Just real quick, it's translating it as brother here in the Hallelujah Scriptures, but obviously we know that Lot is Abraham's nephew. But in Hebrew, you know, sometimes the word can mean the same thing when we're talking about relatives like that, just kind of like grandfather and father. He pretty much used the same words. So I think that's what's going on here and why it keeps calling Lot his brother, but really it should say nephew, I think. Verse 15. And he and his servants divided against them by night and smote them and pursued them as far as Harbah, which is on the left of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. So Abraham was powerful enough to go in here and take everything back by himself, just him and his servants. That's just amazing to me. It's hard to picture, because we look at warfare now, which is much, much different. Of course, the populations of the people in war are much, much different. But Abram was able to go in with himself and his servants and retrieve Lot and all the people and all the goods that were taken from Sodom. I just find that to be kind of fascinating. And after this, or after his return from the defeat of Kedorlaomer, and you'll have to forgive me for mispronouncing that king's name, Kedorlaomer, and the sovereigns who were with him, the sovereign of Sodom came out to meet him at the valley of Shuah, that is the sovereign's valley. And Melchizedek, sovereign of Shalem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was the Kohen of the Most High El. That is to say that he was the priest of the Most High God. Talking about Melchizedek. And Shalem, it's believed that that's talking about Jerusalem at that time. And he Barak him, and he said, Barak, be Abram the Most High El, possessor of the Shemaim and earth. And Baruch be the Most High El, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of all. Now here's something that I find interesting, and I'll share this real quick. Again, I'm trying not to talk too much, but it seems like I am. When I read this, you know, everybody talks about how Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. But when you read it, it always looks to me like it's the other way around. That Melchizedek is giving a tenth tithe to Abraham. And maybe I'm wrong, but let's just read it. Let's just read it again. And Melchizedek, sovereign of Shalem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was the Kohen of the Most High El. And he Barak him, and he said, Barak be Abraham of the Most High El, possessor of the Shemayim and earth. And Baruch be Most High El, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tenth of all. That's what it seems to be, but maybe I'm missing something. Let's continue. Verse 21. And the sovereign of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people, and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the sovereign of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to Yahovah, the Most High El, the possessor of the Shemayim and earth, not to take a thread or a sandal strap or whatever is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of men who went with me, Anir, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. After these events, the word of Yehovah came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward is exceedingly great. And Abram said, Adonai, Yehovah, what would you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And of course, he's referring to a servant in his house. He's telling God, you know, what could you possibly bless me with? I don't have a son. I don't have an heir. As a matter of fact, my heir is going to be one of my servants in my household. Verse 3. And Abram said, See, you have given me no seed, and see, one born in my house is my heir. And see, the word of Yehovah came to him, saying, This one is not your heir, but he who comes from your own body is your heir. And he brought him outside, and he said, Look now toward the Shemayim, and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, So is your seed. And he believed in Yehovah, and he reckoned it to him for righteousness. And he said to him, I am Yehovah who brought you out of your Kasdim to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Adonai, Yehovah, whereby do I know that I possess it? And he said to him, Bring me a three-year-old heifer, and a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took all these to him, and he cut them in the middle, and placed each half opposite of the other. But he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. And it came to be, when the sun was going down, and a deep sleep fell upon Abram, that see, a frightening great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, Know for certain that your seed are to be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. But the nation whom they serve I am going to judge, and afterwards let them come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you are to go to your father in peace, and you are to be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the wickedness of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to be, when the sun went down, and it was dark, that see, a smoking oven and a burning torch passing between those pieces. On the same day, Yehovah made a covenant with Abram, saying, I have given you this land for your seed, from the river of Mizraim to the great river of the river Perath, with the Kenite and the Kenzites and the Kadamite and the Hittite and the Pezrites and the Rephaim and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. And Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no child. And she had a Mizraite female servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, See, Yehovah has kept me from bearing children. Please go unto my female servant. It might be that I am built up by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her female servant, the Mizraite, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to Abram, My wrong be upon you. I gave my female servant into your bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Let Yehovah judge between you and me. And Abram said to Sarah, I see your female servant is in your hand. Do to her what is good in your eyes. And Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. And a messenger of Yehovah found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's female servant, where have you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of Sarai, my mistress. And the messenger of Yehovah said to her, Return to your mistress and humble yourself under her hand. And a messenger of Yehovah said to her, I am going to increase your seed greatly, too numerous to be counted. And the messenger of Yehovah said to her, See, you are conceiving and bearing a son, and shall call his name Yishmael, because Yehovah has heard your affliction. And he is to be a wild man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and dwell over against all his brothers. And she called the name Jehovah, who spoke to her, "You are the El who sees." For she said, "Even here have I seen after him who sees me." That is why the well was called Ba'ir Laha Ra'oi. See, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abraham a son. And Abraham called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Yishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Yishmael to Abraham. Chapter 17. And it came to be, when Abram was 99 years old, that Jehovah appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. And I give my covenant between me and you, and shall greatly increase you." And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim spoke with him, saying, "As for me, look, my covenant is with you, and you shall become a father of many nations. And no longer is your name called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, because I shall make you a father of many nations." Just a quick little note. The Abram's name is changed to Abraham, and what's added is the Hebrew letter Hey, which, if you go back to the pictorial, it meant like spirit man. Is kind of how it can be translated. So you can do what you will with that, but maybe what's changing here is Abraham's name is changing to Abraham because now the Spirit of God is upon him. Just a thought. Could be wrong. Verse 6. "And I shall make you bear fruit exceedingly and make nations of you, and sovereigns shall come from you. And I shall establish my covenant between me and you and your seed, and after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be Elohim to you and your seed after you. And I shall give to you and your seed after the land of your sojournings all the land of Canaan, and as an everlasting possession, and I shall bear their Elohim." And Elohim said to Abram, "As for you, guard my covenant, and you and your seeds after throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you guard between me and you and your seed after you. Every male child among you is to be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall become a sign of the covenant between me and you. And a son of the 8 days is circumcised by you, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with silver from any foreigner who is not your seed. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your silver has to be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And an uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, his life shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." And Elohim said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, do not call her name Sarai, for Sarah is her name." Again, the Hebrew letter He being added to Sarah's name. "And I shall barak her and give you a son by her, and I shall barak her, and she shall become nations, sovereigns of peoples who are to be from her." And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Is a child born to a man who is 100 years old? Or is Sarai, who is 90 years old, to bear a child?" And Abraham said to Elohim, "Oh, let Yishmael live before you." And Elohim said, "No, Sarai, your wife, is truly bearing a son to you, and you shall call his name Yishak. And I shall establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Yishmael, I have heard you. See, I shall barak him, and shall make him bear fruit, and greatly increase him. He is to bring forth 12 princes, and I shall make him a great nation. But my covenant I establish with Yishak, whom Sarah is to bear to you at the appointed time next year." And when he had ended speaking with him, Elohim went up from Abraham, and Abraham took Yishmael his son, and all those born in his house, and all those bought with silver, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin, that same day as Elohim had told him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Abraham said, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised that same day. And all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with silver from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. And that is the Torah portion for this week. And I pray in the name of Jesus that it's been a blessing to you. And unfortunately, I'm out of time, so I can't give any more commentary this morning. But I pray that you've received it well. And thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. If you want to support this mission, you can do that by going to scriptureandprophecy.com. There's options to do that there. If you become a Patreon subscriber, that helps out a lot and also gives you access to 5 current videos, adding one each month, teaching basic biblical Hebrew for those wanting to learn that. So that's all I have for you this week. Lord willing, I'll be back with you Monday, and we'll do our study in the book of Enoch. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.